Isaiah 45. The Lord started saying something to me a number of years ago. He said it to me a number of times. He said, there's more revelation concerning the authority of the believer. And boy, we've gotten so much revelation about it, preached about it over the years a number of times. But to say that there's more revelation, the Lord has been saying that there's more revelation, that challenges me. That challenges me, first of all, just to walk in all the revelation that I've got. How many of you know the biggest challenge is not to get the revelation, but to walk in it once you get it? But it challenges me to reach even for more of what's in the Word. And so, as I've prayed about it and sought God about it and pressed into and spoken, Lord, we call for that revelation that belongs to this era. Further revelation about the authority of the believer. It has come, begun to come, I believe, to me. And I know God's talking to other people as well. I don't mean that. But what has begun to come to me has been some things in the area of the authority we have at the throne of grace. Now, much of the revelation of the authority of the believer that we have today has to do with the authority over devils and demons and, you know, bondage and affliction and sickness and thoughts and, you know, poverty and so forth and so on. And that's all scriptural. But what we see, there's going to be something we look at here tonight regarding our authority at the throne of grace that I think that the Lord wants us to understand, because to be honest with you, we desperately need some people that know how to stand in the presence of God and make their claim of what belongs to us here on this earth, what belongs to us in faith. Now, when I talk about authority at the throne of grace, I'm not talking about authority over God, so to speak. In other words, to, you know, get him to do something he doesn't want to do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a standing with him. Yes, sir. And a right and a place before him to ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Before we get to this in Isaiah, don't lose your place there, but just think about a couple of verses. John 15, verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, there's two qualifications. Number one, being abiding in him, that happens at the new birth. If any man be born again, he's in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and so forth and so on. So, being born again puts us into Christ. But he said, and my word abide in you. My words abide in you. Then he said, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done. Notice he didn't say, you'll ask what I will. Now, it will be in line with his will, because if his word abides in you, his word is his will. So don't misunderstand what I said whenever I said he didn't say ask what I will. It is in line with his will, because his word got in you and his word is his will. You're not going to ask against his word or his will, because his word is what's gotten into you. And it is his will. So, but he said you'll ask what you will. And then verse 16, you're still in Isaiah. Don't lose your place in Isaiah. But John 15, verse number 16 then, it says this. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, you could stop right there and say, well, that means getting people born again and so forth. And, of course, that would be included. No question about that. But notice what he goes on to say, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's the fruit he's talking about. He's talking about a fruitful prayer life. He's talking about getting answers to prayer. Somebody said, I pray all the time. Well, do you ever get answers? No, I never have. I wouldn't call that a fruitful prayer life. I'd call that a waste of time, is what I'd call it. I mean, if you're going to be praying, get results. And we can get results every time if we abide in him. He didn't say, abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, and you never can tell. Maybe 50% of the time, you'll get an answer to prayer. That's not what he said. He said, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He didn't say every now and then. He's talking about all the time. Then you go to Matthew 21, verse number 22. Just some verses. These are only a few, by the way. We could take you through a whole bunch of them. But Matthew 21, verse number 22. You can just write it down if you'd like. It says, Jesus is speaking. He said, what did I say? Verse 22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things. All things. Amen. Then he said, Mark 11, 23, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. He didn't say every now and then. He said, what things soever you desire. So I want you to notice in all things, in all these verses, and there's many more in the New Testament, but these are verses that say, you'll ask what you will.
Yeah.
Or I just thought we'd leave it all up to God. He's leaving it up to you. That's why nothing's done. He's leaving it up to you. You're leaving it up to God. Nobody's doing anything, so. Okay, in Isaiah 45 now. It says in verse number 11. Verse 11, Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's look at this, see if we can understand this. Ask of me the things to come concerning my sons. Now, the sons, see, this would actually be more accurately considered a prophecy for us in the New Testament than it would even apply to them. They weren't sons of God. They were servants of God in the Old Testament. But we're born again.
Yeah. Right.
We're born from above. The Bible said we're born of God.
Yeah.
We're sons. And so sons, we're New Testament believers and we're sons. New Testament believers are sons. So we that would be the New Testament. Then he said, you'll ask of me the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. What would be the work of his hands? Well, Ephesians 2:10, you as the body of Christ, me as a member of the body of Christ, we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, right? So that would be the work of his hands would include the church. Remember, we didn't make ourselves. We're not what we are because of ourselves. He did it. We are his workmanship. Isn't that right? And so number one, it would be the church, the body of Christ. Ask of me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the church. What I have in mind for the church, what I'm doing in the church. Amen. Command ye me. Concerning the work of my hands, that'd be the church. Second of all, it could be anything that he's doing. Any of his dealings with man, that'd be the work of his hands. Anything he's doing. All right, so then let's look at the word ask. Make sure we're not misunderstanding this verse. Ask means just that in the original Hebrew, ask. No question about it. I looked it up. It's very clear. Command. What does command mean in the original language? Because sometimes things translated into English get put into other words. You want to make sure you're not misunderstanding something here. Number one, ask just means that. Ask, we all understand it. Command means, again, exactly what it sounds like. And in the Hebrew, it's the same thing. It means to command. It means to give a charge. To give a charge. Amen. So God's saying to man, God's saying to the church, God's saying to the body of Christ, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I just need to leave it up to God. Well, that's not what John 15:7 said. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You're in there five times. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There's a whole lot of you in that verse. Well, I don't know why nothing's happening. You haven't asked. You haven't said to God what you want him to do. Amen. Amen. Concerning the work of my hand, command ye me. What does that mean? Whatever you say about it, God's telling you and I, whatever you say about it, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. Amen. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Now that's shouting ground right there. A lot of Christians A lot of Christians are like, whoa, no, wait a minute. You're a mere mortal man. And that's true. Well, not exactly. I mean, we're born again. We're not mere mortal men. But people have the idea, well, you're just human and you can't require God to do anything. Well, this verse didn't seem to think that. You know why you can require it? Because he requires it of himself. I don't know if you understand that or not. You can require certain things of him that he requires of himself. Amen. You're not talking to him in tones of arrogance. You're not, just kind of like bossing him around in the flesh. Just any old little whim you have in the flesh. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in tones of humility, yet in faith, based on what he said in his word, you have the right to say, now, Lord, this is what I want you to do for me. And God is saying in this verse, you just tell me what you want me to do for you, and I'll do it. Amen. Whatever you say, he's saying, I'll do it. You just tell me, you just say it, and I'll do that. What? Now, I've come across this. I knew some of this. I know that we have a lot more authority down here than we realize sometimes in the situations of life. There's a lot of situations people just say, I'm just going to leave it up to God, when he's actually left it up to us. And because we are leaving it up to, in our minds, leaving it up to God and not doing anything about it, then the devil jumps in and said, then I'll do something about it. Because the ones that are really in authority about it aren't saying anything or aren't doing anything. Or aren't requiring it to be a certain way. So it's going to go the way I want it to go. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So, you know, I really believe, and I've got experiences that kind of say this. Of course, the Word says so many things. But that there's a lot more authority we have in this life concerning what happens in so many of the situations of life than what we've yet realized. And in certain situations of my prayer life, I've stumbled across certain things. You know, you might not be that bright, consider yourself that bright spiritually, but anybody can stumble across a few things every now and then. You know, in the gold rush out in the West, I mean, there was a lot of people running out there looking for gold. If you really wanted to strike it rich, you had to dig and get down in and find a gold vein and really start digging it out. But people say they just stumble across some things every now and then in a creek. Just stumbling through a creek and there's a gold nugget, you know. I mean, any old person not paying attention could stumble across the gold nugget if they're out there long enough. Some of us have been out there long enough, we've stumbled across a few things. Just almost by accident. And we say, well, looky there, my goodness, what was that? What that worked. I tell you an experience I had. You've heard the story, I prayed for my father. This was more than 5 years. This was about 6 or 7 years. I'd have to go look at the date. Some about 6 or 7 years before he went on to heaven. He's a believer, walked with God all his life. But anyway, about six maybe, I'm just going to say six, I think that's pretty safe, years before he died, we were right here in this auditorium having a prayer meeting, and I started petitioning for his case because he had had a, let's see, which operation was that? That was the one he got sepsis. That was the colon operation. Yeah, that was the colon operation. He had a colon, part of his colon taken out and stuff. And so, the surgery was successful, except after it was all over, sepsis of the blood set in. Now, I've dealt with a couple of cases over the years with people who had sepsis of the blood. Your father was one of them. A number of other ones. And I remember talking to the doctors up there at the hospital whenever your father got sepsis of the blood. He had that operation. I don't remember which one that was. Was that the gallbladder? Yeah. And then he got sepsis of the blood. And so we went up there and we were praying. And I had, in the process of being up there for, I don't know, a couple of hours or whatever, I think a couple different times, I saw one of the doctors one of the times and I said, are you on Tom's case here? And and I said, "No, he's got sepsis of the blood, right?" Yeah. I said, "What's the statistics?" I'm not walking by statistics. I'm just getting ammo for a good testimony. That's why I was getting the information. What's the statistics? How often do people come out of sepsis of the blood? He said, very rarely. I've never seen one come out of sepsis. Somebody gets sepsis of the blood. I don't know what it is. Some sort of bacteria or something. Is that right? Very rarely. Very rarely somebody comes out of having sepsis of the blood. So, well, Tom was completely healed and raised up. How many? He lived 7 years or something? 7 more years. And actually had died on that hospital bed, had died. He went up and talked to Jesus. There's a book out here about it. And the Lord sent him back and said, "No, you got some more things to do." But see, we were down there in the hospital room commanding him to live. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful testimony. You ought to talk to Miss Leanne about it sometime. But so that was supernatural, because the doctor himself said he had never seen that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, he never saw anybody that had faith.
Yeah.
Bless his darling heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I feel mean on the devil tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but my father was at that colon operation. I keep thinking it was the colon operation. He got sepsis of the blood also. And so I'm pleading his case. I had already been through this once with Tom. And my dad now got sepsis of the blood. And I'm like, I can't let him. It was so sudden. What was it, the heart operation? I keep second guessing myself. So, but it doesn't matter, does it? It was the one. He had a lot of operations. But and so I'm talking to God about this right here. I never forget it. I'm right back here. We had been praying and walking around, and different ones of us here. And I'm right back here, about somewhere about where Miss Sylvia is, between those seats there. Between Brother Don and Miss Sylvia right there. And I'm praying. And I just said, "Lord, I just know it's not. This is too sudden. The family's not ready." I started pleading his case. He's not old enough to die, so forth and so on. And I just started talking to God about different things, about, about him living. And I said, "I'm asking you, Father, that he live and not die this way." And the Lord said to me, "All right." I heard him in my heart, not audibly, but in my heart. The Lord said to me, "All right, he'll live." You know, in other words, he'll come out of this and live long. He won't live forever. Nobody's going to live down here forever. But he'll live. He'll come out of this and live longer. But he said the rest of his life is not going to be well. Now, he was talking about physically. And that came to pass. I mean, the rest of his life, he was in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out of the hospital. Just thing after thing. It's just. And so what the Lord was trying to do, I was pleading my case, but the Lord was pleading his case. Tell your neighbor, that's what Isaiah chapter number 43 says. Go back there, just back a page. Verse number 25. Isaiah 43, 25 and 26. I am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake. He didn't even do it for your sake. He did it for his sake. Why? Because he's got a big benevolent heart. He wants to bless you, and he had to get some things out of the way. Amen. I'm he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. We're talking tonight about boldness in prayer. I'm he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake, will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. So he's saying, because you're right, because of the blood, we bring this through the New Testament, we got this blessing from, according to the book of Hebrews, he's blotted out our transgressions as well. Well, the whole New Testament talks about it. But so this belongs to us just as much as it belongs to them back here in the Old Testament. And God said to the Old Testament covenant people, he said, because of your sins being blotted out, you come and plead together. Let us plead together. In other words, you come and you plead your case. And it says here in the King James, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Now, the American Standard Version says, set forth your cause. American Standard, set thou forth thy cause. New American Standard Bible. He said, let us argue our case together. State your case or your cause. Yeah. Amen. Amen. In other words, God's saying, you plead your case, I'll plead my case. In other words, talk this thing over with me. Don't just let things happen. Talk it over with me. What do you have to say about it? Did you get that? What do you have to say about it? Now, I might have some things to say about it, too. You remember Hezekiah? We talked about Hezekiah a month or so ago. Hezekiah, God said to him, set your house in order, you're going to die. That's what God had to say about it. Well, Hezekiah got to plead in his case. And he started, and if the Bible said he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And sought God. And God spoke to him about some things. And the Bible said that he repented. You can read the whole Isaiah 38 account. And he got some things right. And he said, God cast all my sin behind his back. Yeah. In other words, there were some things that Hezekiah had to get right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Isaiah, the prophet that came in and gave the word of the Lord, said, set your house in order, you're going to surely die. Didn't even get out of the courtyard. Hezekiah's praying. He turned his face to the wall. He got some things right, changed some things. And God spoke to Isaiah, said, come back, go back in there and tell him, I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. I'm going to add to his life 15 more years. Somebody said, God changed his mind. No, Hezekiah pled his case. God said, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
That didn't mean it was his will.
Right.
I said that didn't mean it was good. Sometimes you can get something in your spirit and you know something's getting ready to happen, but when you look in the Word, it's not God's will.
Yeah.
So don't just kind of sit back and let it happen. Plead your case. You got a case, the Word of God. This is your case.
Yeah.
Plead your case.
Yeah.
Lord, I see in your Word.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, and as you see in his word, well, I don't know what his word says. Well, then you ought to come to church more often and find out what's in his word.
Come on now. Yeah. That's right.
If you don't know the word, you don't have anything to plead.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
God said, you plead your case.
Yeah.
Set forth your cause.
Yeah.
That's what Hezekiah did. He set forth his case. And God said, yeah, but I told you you're going to die because of this and this and this. He said, Lord, I repent. God said, all right, I'll add 15 more years to you. See, a lot of things that God says, it doesn't mean it's his will. Now, that you could take that wrong. If it's in his word, it's his will. But if God says, set your house in order, you're going to die at a young age when you're too young to die, you can say, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute. I see in your word, you with long life, you'll satisfy me and show me your salvation. Now, I plead my case. And I make my claim on that verse, and he might say, okay, you can do that. But listen, I've been dealing with you about this and this and this. What are you going to do about it? Because this is cutting your life short.
Yeah.
And you can say, I repent.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll forgive you. And then you go and say, okay, now I have the right to claim long life. And he says, you sure do. I'll add to your life 15 more years. I'll add to your life 25 more years. I'll add to your life. See, this is not the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of talking things over with God. It's a prayer of supplication, really, is what it is. You and I got to learn to do this. You and I got to learn to do this concerning our nation, concerning what's going on in the government, concerning what's going on in the body of Christ, concerning the fact that the revival and outpourings of the Spirit are prophesied for these last days.
Amen.
Excuse me, some of my banana just came out from behind my tooth. I ate a banana before I came to church. Turn to your neighbor and say, at least he's real. Now, when it came to my dad, who was dying of sepsis of the blood, I asked the Lord to lengthen his life. Are you with me? I knew there were some things that it'd be better if they got restored in the family. That he didn't go before all these things were made right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get in. I'm just telling you. There's more to it than what I share usually. But I also knew that God's... In other words, he hadn't lived long life yet. And he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't ready yet. And, you know, the Bible says, long life, I'll satisfy you. Somebody said, I'm not satisfied. Well, then stay around. Well, I mean, you can't just choose to live, can you? Well, let's think about it. Paul said, I have a desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better, yet it's more needful to you that I stay here. And what I shall choose, I know not yet what I'm going to choose. Wait a minute, Paul. You don't have a choice in these matters. I mean, when your day comes, you know, June 25th, 2025, your gig's up. I mean, that's the day. Your gig's up. You're gone, Paul. Don't you know God's sovereign? He's controlling all these things. Well, must not, because Paul said, I got to choose here what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Besides that, there's verses all through the Old Testament and New Testament. If you do this, your life will be longer.
Yeah.
If you do this, you'll cut your life short. A wicked man will not live out half his days. We got a lot more to do with these things.
Yes, sir.
So we got a lot more authority than we think sometimes. So I was pleading my father's case. The Lord said, okay, I'll let him live. I asked the Lord to heal him, and then the Lord said, all right, but the rest of his life's not going to be well. See, he's pleading his case. And that's exactly what happened. And in hindsight, I probably should have talked it over more with God. And I should have said, all right, Lord, I don't want that for him. I mean, you love people. You don't want to see people go through that.
Yeah.
It's not living going in and out of the hospital, you know.
Right.
But anyway, there's a lot I won't get into. But I could have pled more. I said, all right, at least let these things get settled in the family here.
Yeah.
And let him give a good testimony and be ready to go. And everybody's all right and everything, you know. And then, you know, so he doesn't suffer long, then I'll let him go on. But see, I'm learning these things. Anybody still learning these things? And so, but the thing I want you to hear here is, what God was basically saying was, all right, I'll do what you say. Amen. I said, amen. God was trying to let me know what was best for my father. Are you with me? God was pleading his case. But in the end, he did whatever I said about it. You can see that. Can't you see that? Amen. Amen. I think we've got to realize that this verse in here in Isaiah, and you put that together, John 15:7, is saying the same thing. You'll ask what ye will.
Yeah.
We got to realize God's just, in a lot of cases, saying, okay, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to spare their life till they get some things settled here in the family.
Yep.
Let them live long enough to get this settled here.
Yeah.
All right. That's right, he will. Well, he might plead his case. He might say, I've been waiting on them, put away sin for 30 years. Well, then you're going to have to find some scriptures. You're going to have to find a way to plead a case. Well, if he pleads that, you're going to have to find something to plead. I remember Brother Hagin telling the story of the healing of Brother Haynes. He was the Sunday school superintendent of one of his churches. Brother Haynes was an oil field worker. He was out in the oil fields working, and he got up one day up on the oil rig and was working and fell down into some machinery. You heard this testimony, but it bears repeating right here. And so it's Brother Hagin said that whenever the call came, he went rushed out there and met Mrs. Haynes. She got the call too, and they rushed out there, saw it, met each other there, and the doc, he was laying on the ground. The doctor said, we can't move him because he's not dead, but he's just about dead, and we're afraid if we move him he'll die. And you know, you don't want to be the one that moves him and they die. You want to figure out how are we going to do this here now, you know. And And so, but anyway, they and Brother Hagin and Mrs. Haynes, they got together and prayed and believed God. And Mrs. Haynes said, she's the one initiated. She said, isn't it good, talking to Brother Hagin, isn't it good to know we got inside information? They said, because Brother Hagin got the information from the doctor, they say he hasn't died, but he's almost dead. And they said he can't live. And Mrs. Haynes said, isn't it good we have inside information? So she's the one that initiated her faith. She said, inside the Bible, we know we have a covenant that he'll have long life. And so they began to believe God. And finally, he stabilized. He wasn't, healed or anything yet, but Mr. Haynes, he stabilized. And they said, well, we believe he's stabilized. We can at least get him in the stretcher, get him to the hospital. So they got him to the hospital. And you remember Brother Hagin walking in the aisles of the hospital saying, Lord, I just can't let him die. He's my Sunday school superintendent. He's not old enough to die. You said with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you. He said, Mr. Haynes is the best testimony, the man with the best testimony in the church. All the businessmen in all the city have great confidence in him. They know his testimony, and he's got a better witness in this city than any man in my church. Number two, he puts 30% of my income in the church. Of his income into the church. And he started pleading his case. Number three, he is my Sunday school superintendent. And every week, if somebody doesn't come to Sunday school, he goes out to their house and visits them, just seeing how they're doing, make sure they're doing all right. And so he helps me in the ministry.
Yes, sir.
And so I need him. If I need him, I'm the under-shepherd, you're the over-shepherd. If you're the over-shepherd, you need him. And so I need him. That means you need him. He's a good witness. He's a good testimony. He helps me. He does all these things. He's not old enough to die. And so Brother Hagin said, I just walked through hospital halls, and I just can't let him die. Just can't let him die. And the Bible says you can plead your case. That's what Brother Hagin's doing. He's pleading his case. Where's he at? He's at the throne of grace. He's saying to God, I just can't let him die. Somebody said, well, God's not going to hear that. It's all sovereign. God's not going to hear that. Well, listen to the rest of the testimony. The rest of the testimony is, Brother Hagin said he'd do that for a while. The nurses, they had him, I think they had an oxygen tent on him. They had him, he's calm and everything. And Brother Hagin said he would, when he'd start pleading his case, he would start coming out of it. Brother Hagin gets sleepy because he's doing this all night long, and start falling asleep and be awakened by the nurse coming in. And the nurse said, he's almost gone. He's lost a lot of ground. He's almost gone. Brother Hagin go back out in the hall and plead his case again. Whenever Brother Hagin would fall asleep, he'd start dying. He's went through the same thing three times, I think it was. Just can't let him die. Boy, if you are in a situation like that, you want to have something for somebody to plead. What is it? Hebrews 6:10? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. Hallelujah. In other words, that God won't forget that. Well, you can use that then to plead his case, to plead somebody's case. But if nobody's got anything to plead, well, Lord, I saw them one Sunday back in 2007. They came. They've not supplied any finances to the church. No, you're not buying your blessings. But see, God's looking for some fruit. Amen. And you can use fruit to plead people's case. And so anyway, I won't get into all that. We could just know that whenever he said, God is not unfaithful to forget your works and labor of love that you've shown toward his name and that you minister to the saints and do minister, you can use that to plead people's case. I'll just say it. Somebody this week got a roof because I said, God, they have need of this. They've sown more into this church than any other people and anybody. And so I'm asking you for a new roof. For them, I'm pleading their case. Because their insurance company isn't giving them a new roof. And I started having an experience in the Spirit. Told the people all about it. I said, you got you a new roof. Well, do that for me. Well, give me something to plead. you do it for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, Brother Hagin said he'd plead that man's case and he'd start living again. Finally, he said the man came all the way out of it, and they scurried around. The doctor said, let's get him in here and do these tests. He's coming out of it. He's coming out of it. And he was completely healed, never had any pain. His testimony was, I came back out of it and never had any pain. He said, now his testimony in church on Sunday or whenever the next time they were in church, his testimony was, I actually did die. I went on up to heaven. And I met Jesus, and Jesus met me, and Jesus said, you can't come yet. And he said, oh, Jesus, I want to. Nobody ever been in heaven wants to come back. I mean, nobody ever wants to come back. But he said, no, I want to stay. Jesus said, no, you can't come back. He said, well, you can't stay. You have to go back. Why can't I stay? Why do I have to go back? And Jesus in heaven said, Brother Hagin won't let you come. And he said, what do you mean? Jesus said, Mr. Haynes said, Jesus pulled a curtain back, like a veil between the realm of the seen and the unseen. Pulled the curtain back, and Brother Hagin's walking the halls of the hospital going, I just can't let him die.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And as soon as Jesus pulled that curtain back, and he heard Brother Hagin say, I just can't let him die, Brother Haynes said, instantly I was back in my body, in the hospital where Brother Hagin's pleading the case, I just can't let him die.
Yeah.
Now that's authority at the throne of grace. I said, that's authority at the throne of grace. Woo! I said, that's authority at the throne of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if you're thrilled about it or not.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'll just introduce this. I won't fully get into it. But the promises of God, God's promises, are his debts to man. That's what he owes. Somebody said, well, but maybe he didn't really mean it. See, that's what your problem is. Faith is based on the knowledge that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. If you don't know that, if you think God's like a man, he just says things to be courteous, you know, and just kind of get people to leave them alone and, you know, make them feel better and hopes nobody ever comes claiming it or anything because he doesn't really want to do it. You know, people do that, but God doesn't do that. His word is a revelation of what he longs to do for his people. It's not like you're twisting his arm to make him do it until he says, Uncle. Amen. Well, maybe he doesn't want to do what he said. Well, then he shouldn't have said it. You parents, you ever promised your kids something? You do this and this and this. We'll do this and this for vacation next summer, you know. We'll go to Disney World or something. Amen. Don't say that if you don't mean it. And if you're not going to follow through with it. Now, you'll say, now, don't let me forget. Guess what? They're not going to let you forget. They're going to put you in remembrance. Don't forget, Daddy, you said if we got straight A's on our report card. Daddy, 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 I got straight A's. You said, Daddy. That's right. We're going to Disney World. See, and that Daddy can't say, now you can't force me to take you to Disney World. Well, Daddy, you're the one that said it. We're not forcing you. You're the one that said it.
Amen.
So either follow through or give me your dad card. You know what I'm talking about. Turn in your dad card. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is shouting ground. I said that you can require it of him because he requires it of himself. He requires of himself that he's faithful to his own word. Amen. And that's the authority you have at the throne. See, the word getting in you gives you this authority. If you don't know the word, then you're not sure if you can be that bold or not. But if you know the word, you can stand there bold. No, you're not arrogant. You're not trying to manipulate or anything like that. You're just simply reminding him in tones of humility, but yet in confident faith,
This is what you said. I've come to make my claim. Remember I said that God's promises are His debts to man. His righteousness and His justice requires Him to keep His promises, just like any man's integrity today means, and him living and doing the right thing and living the right way means and requires that he pays his financial debts. Amen. Any money that he owes. Amen. God's got integrity. And if he's got a debt he's got to pay, you can require it of him. I said, amen, you can require it of him. They appear, what God said, I'm talking about His promises, they appear on our balance sheet as an account receivable. They appear as an asset on our balance sheet. But they're on God's accounts payable column. They're shown as a liability on His balance sheet. Now, if you don't know anything about accounting, you don't know how powerful that is. Every month, the accountants send us all the financials, you know, after we get all the stuff, all the information to it, all the financials, and there's accounts receivable, accounts payable, things that were owed, you know, things that maybe by the time the month was over, a bill wasn't due yet, but the bill had come in, but we hadn't paid it yet. That's something that is a liability on. That's got to be deducted from the overall value of the church or the daycare or whatever. I don't know if you know anything about accounting, but you ought to learn some. And whenever we get the balance sheet from heaven, all His promises are on our accounts receivable column. A man might not have anything in his pocket, but he's got whatever he's got in his pocket on his balance sheet, plus all the promises of God. Boy, you look at the balance at the bottom and he's rich. Woo! He's loaded with assets. So God's promises are His debts. I said I wasn't going to get into this, and you made me do it. So they appear on our account, books as account receivable column as an asset. They appear on God's account payable column. They are a liability on His balance sheet. He's obligated to pay when you and I call it in. When a man on the earth calls it in. Calls in the debt. We had a bank one time call in our second mortgage. We had a house and we had a second mortgage, and I don't know, they didn't like the way the economy was going, and they started pulling in some mortgages and stuff. It was time to renew it, I think. Wasn't it time to renew it? But they just called it in and said, no, we're not going to renew it for you. In other words, we got to pay all that thing off. I think at that time it was $80,000. We got to pay all that off. Well, we didn't have the $80,000, so we went and, you know, got another bank to borrow it. Paid that first bank off. They called in the debt. Well, we're obligated. God's saying, my promises are my obligations. And you call it in, I'm obligated. That's the authority we have at the throne of grace. Praise God. Man can call in his promises and call it in as a debt. God said, yeah, I owe that. I said that. You can call for him to be paid at any time. How many of you know he's good for it? His righteousness requires him to pay it. Now, you have to be open whenever you plead your case and you take that receipt to him. See, his word is his receipts. When he said here, that's his receipts. You say, Lord, you made me a promise. You obligated yourself to do this. He said, yeah, but I also said. Yeah. Remember, Brother Hagin started pleading his case about his finances, and he's just standing on the prosperity verses. But remember, the Lord said to him, yeah, but I also said, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Yeah. So God pled his case. Yeah. See, there's more than one verse in the Bible. Yeah. And you might plead one verse, and he said, yeah, but this is what I said over here.
Yeah.
And you can make all those adjustments until finally God doesn't have any other option. He's got to do it. In your case, you can always make the changes. When it comes to pleading somebody else's case, you can't always make the changes. But in your case, you can always make the changes. Hallelujah. Woo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 See, what God's word says, what he said in his word, is a revelation of what he longs to do for you. You got to get a hold of that. He didn't say it just because he's trying to make you feel better. He really wants to do that for you. Hallelujah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. You need to understand that. Just like mom and dad say, you get straight A's, we'll go take you to Disneyland for a vacation. You shouldn't have said that if you didn't mean it. Don't do that. That's mean. That's cruel. Isn't that right? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Isaiah 45:11 is telling us our authority we have at the throne of grace in prayer. About our rights to come before God in prayer and cash in on what he said. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said cash in.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, I don't have much in the bank. Well, go to God's debt column. Say, here's what he owes me. Now, you got to do that in the spirit, not in tones of arrogance, you know, but in humility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that what John 15:7 said? You abide in me and my words abide in you. You will ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. To command God in these matters is an expression of the highest kind of relationship. Covenant. It's the highest kind of relationship. When you understand covenant, covenant takes two and makes people two and makes them one, and it exchanges everything that you both have. Marriage is a covenant. Two people come into marriage, they both have the same assets together. When we came into covenant with God, all his assets came onto our column as what we're worth. What we got. It's called, in the New Testament, it's called our inheritance. Hallelujah. And so whatever is his is yours. Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We jointly together got everything Jesus got when he raised from the dead. Now, if you don't know what Jesus got when he rose from the dead, you're at a disadvantage. But whenever you get a revelation of what he got, then all of that is on your asset column. And you can go to the throne of grace and cash in on that. Amen. And so to be able to go and to, like it says back here, command ye me, which basically means just tell me what to do and I'll do it. In other words, you just say, whatever you say about it is what I'll do. In order to be able to do that, you got to realize that's covenant talk right there. And it's an expression of the highest kind of relationship, covenant. It's an expression of friendship. It's an expression of a standing that we have before God to cooperate with him as we labor together with him and what he's doing down here on the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's important to note that this place in prayer before the Father, whatever we say about it is what he'll do, this is a place in the Spirit. In other words, this is done when a man's in the Spirit, under the anointing of the Spirit. This is not just when a man tries to be bossy with God and command him to fulfill every little whim of his fleshly nature. You know what I'm talking about. People try to do that when I'm talking about tonight, and they don't understand. They think it's just, you know, just some fleshy commanding him to, you know, do this or do that or make my boss stop doing this, you know. No, this is not something that's just in the flesh. You do this in the Spirit. All, listen, don't ever forget this. Intercession and supplication, which really what this is supplication tonight, is done in the Spirit. When you come into the New Testament, you'll see both of those are done in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 45, command ye me. That literally means that man has the authority to pray with the kind of faith that they can require the Almighty to do for them those things which they ask according to His will. And which is necessary to meet the need. Because God would rather do things for us than withhold from us. The Bible said, no good thing do I withhold from them that walk uprightly. But I said, this is covenant. And you find some covenant, bold covenant prayers, covenant people in the Old Testament. Genesis 18 is Abraham, a covenant man praying. God comes to Abraham and said, well, I can't keep from Abraham what I'm getting ready to do. See, that's covenant talk right there. I can't just do something in the earth without talking over my covenant people. So he comes to Abraham and says, shall I withhold from Abraham that which I do? Because he's my covenant partner. So he said, I'm going to have to tell Abraham, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes down there and he says, Abraham, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham got before God and started pleading Sodom and Gomorrah's case. And he said, now, if there's righteous people in there, far be it from you to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Whoa, you can't talk to God like that. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now you be, you, Abraham, you slap your own mouth. Now you need to shut up. Don't talk to God like that.
Come on.
But God didn't slap his mouth. That's bold. It wouldn't be right for you to destroy the righteous with the wicked. But God said no. Well, then Abraham said, if there's 50 righteous in there, I'm asking you to spare the city. He said, all right, I'll spare the city if there's 50 righteous. Now, he came down ready to destroy it, all the wickedness. If there's 50 righteous, and God said, all right, I'll do what you say. That's what he's basically saying. All right. Are you there? Abraham's commanding him. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. And God invites us, just tell me what you want me to do. I don't know if you're getting it or not. Whatever you say about it is what I'll do. Abraham's saying, well, don't destroy it if there's 50 wicked. I mean, if there's 50 righteous. All right, all right. I'll just do what you say. Well, while I'm on it, what if there's not 50 there? What if there's only 40? I'm asking you to spare it for 40. All right, I'll spare it for 40. You read that, he got all the way down to 20. He said, now, don't let your... Abraham, he's in fear and trembling before God. He said, now, he got down to 20. He said, now, don't let your wrath wax hot here. But what did he get down to 20 or is it 10? I can't remember. He got down to 10. I'll ask just one more time. What if there's only 10? And he's in fear and trembling. God said, all right, I won't destroy it if there's 10 righteous there. My goodness. Abraham stopped right there. If he'd have said, now, my son or nephew, Lot's in there with his family. I'm asking you to spare it just for Lot's sake. I believe he would have done it. I believe he would have done it. But Abraham, he's afraid to go any further. See, that's what boldness is. Boldness is fearlessness. And I haven't even got to that sermon yet. I was trying to get to that sermon all night. I've been trying to get to that sermon for 4 services. Boldness, get this very clearly, boldness is an element of a successful, fruitful prayer life. Boldness. Abraham is being bold. Now, how do I know boldness is a... part or an element of a successful, fruitful prayer life? Well, Hebrews chapter number 10. Amen. Hallelujah. Having therefore, Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. There's too many people coming in sheepishly. They're coming in because they don't know they have a say.
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Yes, come on.
Yeah.
But at the throne of grace, you have a say.
Yes, you do. Yes.
One translation says we got our freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Abraham's being bold. And he got results. Well, if he wouldn't have quit, he was getting results and he quit. People say, well, you know, God doesn't assume judge America. He's going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. You don't understand what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't about, Abraham was the one that was determining whether that happened or not. And in America today, the righteous people of God who are bold and go to the president, they're the ones that have the say in the United States of America. Everybody needs to hear that. But if you don't know your rights, you don't know your standing, you don't know your place. The standing you have because of righteousness, the standing you have because of covenant, the standing you have because of the promises of God, the Word of God. If you don't know all of that, then the devil's going to do what he wants rather than what we say. Are you still out there? You're going home. Let's finish this up. Ephesians 3:12. Well, we won't finish it up, but let's just introduce this boldness part. In whom, Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness. Amen. And access with confidence by the faith of Him. Ephesians 3:12. Don't let it get away from you. If you're in Christ, anybody in Christ? In whom, that means in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I like to say it this way. Bold and confident access. Brother Hagin prophesied about some things about this place in prayer that few have ever gone to. I believe he's holding a lot of stuff off of this nation because he would go to that place. He'd stand before God. Now it's time for us to step up to the plate. And learn our place. But this place, this notice, in whom we have boldness and access. Notice that word access. Access. This boldness gives a man access to places in the Spirit that few have gone. Few prayer people in the New Testament go to this place in knowledge of their covenant, knowledge of their right standing before God, and their ability to take the Word of God before Him and say, Lord, You said. We're just not going to let this happen here in this nation. We're just not going to let this happen here in my home. We're not going to let this happen in our city. We're not going to let this happen. Amen. I got to quit. Tell your neighbor it's good that I came tonight. I mean, there's one place you can just write this verse down, Exodus 32:10. This is whenever God came down off, or Moses came down off the Mount Sinai with, remember he had just been up there getting the Ten Commandments. He'd been in the glory for 40 days. And there in Exodus 32, and it says that God said to him, go down, Moses. He said, the people have corrupted themselves. They started worshiping a calf. You know. And he said, and he said, my anger has waxed hot. And he said, and in Exodus 32:10, God said, now therefore, let me alone. That I may destroy them and wipe them out, start a new nation with you, Moses. And Moses said, no, Lord. And he stood in the place and stood in the gap. And said, well, then the wicked are going to say, then you brought them out of Egypt, but you couldn't get them into the land. And don't forget what you said to Abraham. Got Mrs. Moses talking. Don't forget what you said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You made some promises to your covenant men.
Come on.
And the Bible said God repented of what he thought to do about it. And said, all right, Moses, I'll do what you said. But listen to that language, Exodus 32:10. Let me alone. In other words, you can stop me here. I'm asking you, don't stop me. And Moses said, I'm going to ask you to reconsider on that.
That's so good.
Bold. Most of us would think if we did something like that, we're done. We're crispy critters. We're go to hell. Free pass. Go to hell right now. You know. But that's a man who knew his place. He knew covenant. He knew his rights. Hallelujah. What have you been letting God alone for? You know? That's the reason so many things turn out the wrong way is people let God alone. I know that sounds funny, but you got to realize how I say that. And I think you do. But in whom we have boldness. Thank God. See, boldness is one thing we got when we got born again. It's part of our new spiritual nature. We're told that the righteous are as bold as lions. Proverbs 28:1. Isn't that right? Part of what we have in our redemption in righteousness is boldness. And boldness is the absence of fear. It's fearlessness. It's being courageous. And being full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost will make you that. So, come back again and we'll get into more about boldness.
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. A man that's full of the Word, he knows who he is. And he knows he's not a peon coming to God trying to get him to just give him a crumb. Here's the, well, it's like Jesus said to that woman, you know, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. You know, I'm just a dog. No, wait a minute. No, you're not the dog. You're the children up at the table. I said, you're one of the children up at the table. And you ought to be flipping crumbs to the dogs. Dogs are people that don't have covenant. Oh, glory to God. What is a child? A child is someone that has an equal right to whatever the father's eating on the table. Woo, glory be to God. If it's daddy's, it's mine. Hallelujah. That's boldness. Just knowing, believing that if God's got it, then it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I mean, what did Jesus come for if he didn't make it mine? Glory. We ought to camp on this for a while and realize who we are at the throne of grace. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Remember Brother Hagin, I'm just not going to let him die. There's things that you just ought to not, you ought to just stop letting happen. Just stop letting happen. Well, I'm just leaving it up to the Lord. Well, that just puts it in the devil's hands is what that does. Because he's actually left it up to you and me. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not taking no for an answer. Not taking no for an answer. I'm not taking the devil's no where God put a divine yes. Glory.
Glory.
I just got started tonight. I didn't get... I knew when I came tonight, I knew it's going to take some time to lay the foundation. But we'll get into it some more. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story of being by his father-in-law's bed, Miss Aretha's dad, when he was dying. He had an operation, and then he went in. And this operation was successful, but then he went into a coma. And Brother Hagin was standing by the bedside and said, I can't let him die. Not like this. There was a time before this that he had said, Miss Aretha had asked him, are you ready to go? And he said, honey, I'm not sure. And I can't let him die without knowing for sure. Especially my wife. Don't want to have to go through life not knowing if she's going to see her dad again. They were real close. And so Brother Hagin said, I'm just going to rebuke this death. And he said he heard the Lord speak up in his spirit and said, don't do it. Brother Hagin said, that told me I could. You got to hear what the Lord says sometimes. When he says, don't do it, that means you could. When he told Moses, leave me alone, that means I could stop him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting this. He said, don't do it. And Brother Hagin pled his case. Said, no, he's not leaving a good testimony. My wife doesn't even know if he's going to heaven and so forth and so on. And he said, the Lord said, don't do it. He said, all right, Lord. I'll let him go on under one condition. And that's bold. What's that one condition? That you bring him out of it, that he at least leaves a good testimony. So that everybody can know for sure where he's going. And then I'll let him die. Brother Hagin said he barely got those words out of his mouth. And Miss Aretha's dad on the bed opened his eyes and looked at him and said, oh my God, Brother Hagin, I'm dying. He said, I know it. Brother Hagin said, I know it. And he said, you're going to get those kids up, those grandkids up here, aren't you? And let me say goodbye. He said, I sure am. And he said he got all that. He said he came out of that coma. And the doctor said the doctor didn't expect to come out of the coma. He came out of the coma. And Brother Hagin said they got about 30 people. The doctors, the hospital was a Catholic hospital. The mother superior of the hospital said, no, you just forget about all the rules. Because the rules were children couldn't come up. That's why they hadn't been up to see him. You forget about all the rules. You just get everybody up here. You need to get up here. Because we know he can't live very long. So that night they had 30 people in the hospital room. All the grandkids. Brother Hagin said, you would think tomorrow he's going on vacation or something. He's laying up in bed, just talking, just wide awake, just fully alert.
Yes, sir.
And he went, he said, everybody, you know, said, I'm sure where I'm going. I've got everything right with God, and left a good testimony.
Yes,
amen. Said goodbye to everybody. And they all went home. Next day or whenever it was, he lapsed into that coma again. And Brother Hagin had said he already got what he pled for. He couldn't plead anymore. I mean, he knew what was best. Because the Lord said to him, he's got everything in order. He's never going to have a better time to die. Brother Hagin said, all right, I'll let him die under one condition. You bring him out of it and let him leave a good testimony. So he got that. That's all he would plead. So the next day he went into the coma. And Brother Hagin's there by the bed. Mr. Haynes is, in the coma. And all of a sudden, Mr. Haynes came out of it again and said, oh my God, Brother Hagin, I'm dying. Brother Hagin said, yeah, I know it, but you're not afraid to die, are you? No, he said, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to go. He said, there's been a man up there in the corner of the room ever since Saturday. This was Monday. Ever since Saturday. Every now and then, he's up there and he just does that. He said, I don't know rightly who you are. Brother Hagin said, I looked up there, I couldn't see anybody. He said, I don't know rightly who you are, but he said, I'm not quite ready yet. Actually, that was the first time. That was the first time. He said, I'm not quite ready yet. You know, in other words, he wanted to talk to the whole family. That was actually the first time. I got that mixed up. But he said, he came out of it that second time. He said, my God, Brother Hagin, I'm dying. He said, yeah, I know, but you're not afraid to die, are you? No, he said, I'm ready to go. Brother Hagin said, well, then lay back on the pillar and let it fly. So he said, he just laid back and light came over his face and he went on. Praise God. Well, that's the best in that case he could get. The Lord pled his case. I said, with other people, you can't always get. That's not God's best. He wasn't old enough to die. But sure beats going to hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just love digging around in this. By Tom's bed, we said, no, we're not going to let him die. We sense death. No, no, death, no, you can't. You're going to have to let him go. Let him live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to need this real soon, and God's going to remind you of this service. And you're going to say, oh, no, no. I got my freedom of speech at the throne of grace. And I'm going to speak up. Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for the word tonight. Didn't this do something for your faith?
Yes.
We're not done yet. We got to dig some more in this. Hallelujah. You got something?
It's not over. It's not through.
That's right.
What the Lord said to me and to you. Be comforted by what I've already said. It's not over. it's not true. So come to my throne and thank me for what you have known. Thank me. Thank me. And say it's not over. It's not through. What the Lord, Lord, what you said to us. It's not over. It's not through. We declare what you have always wanted to do. We stand for righteousness. We stand for peaceableness. We stand for quietness and rest. Preaching the gospel, standing the test. It's not over. It's not through. Be comforted in what I'm going to do. Be comforted in what I'm going to do. And say, Lord, I know it's not over. I know it's not over. I know it's not over. It's not through. Enamunani aniushi. Healing is here in this place. So lift your hands up and take His anointing grace. And say, Lord, I take healing. I take healing. I take healing for me. Thank you, Lord, you've made me free. The healing anointing is all over me. Thank you, Lord. So if you need healing, say, healing is mine. Oh, it's so divine. Healing anointing is working. Working, working, working. Just lay hands right now on your ears. Lay hands on your ears. Have any ear problems? Say, healing is mine. Oh, it's so divine. Healing is mine. So divine. On your back. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Your nerves. Healing is mine. For I'm faithful. I've promised. So remind me what my word says. Healing is yours. So now confess. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Wisdom is mine. Wisdom. Wisdom. To walk in your plan. Wisdom. Yeshunani Eshe. Iliamosan Eshe. I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm free. In my mind, you have healed me. In my mind, you have set me free. So just lay hands and say, my mind is free from oppression. My mind is free from oppression. I have it now. I'm free and how? Oh, I'm free. liberty is mine. Oh, it's so joyous, so peaceful, so divine. Healing is mine, I'm free. So just remind me, just remind me, just remind me.
Hallelujah. There's somebody watching on the live stream. I don't know if it's you. There's a lady watching. I don't know if it's you or if it's a lady that you're related to, your mother or someone. But I keep sensing through live stream, there's somebody that has cancer in the left breast. I release the anointing of the Spirit of God to you right now to heal that. And the power of God that's in this room goes into that condition and drives it out. I rebuke it. Satan, you take your hands off of that. I release the anointing to heal you. And I call for the full long life that belongs to that person in Jesus' name. Whoever that is, you contact us and let us know. And you just praise God with us because you receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's praise God with them. Praise God with them. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Healing, 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 healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. We rejoice in it. We receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll see you on Sunday. Go and have a wonderful weekend. The rest of this week and then this weekend. We will see you on Sunday morning. You're dismissed.